This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're looking back at a state championship for men's cross country. Plus, field hockey is now ranked 7th in the country, and women's soccer blanked nationally ranked Wesleyan. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The football team headed to perennial NESCAC-powered Trinity on Saturday and got off to a slow start, falling behind 27-0 early in the third quarter. A pair of Ryan Linsky touchdown runs got the Bobcats to within two scores, but a late field goal secured the 30-13 win for the Bantams. Bates head coach Matt Coyne joins us to recap the game. Slow start obviously cost the Bobcats in this one. I thought in the second half you guys played right with these Bantams. What were your overall kind of thoughts on this game and what's going to need to happen for the guys to get off to a faster start this week, I guess?
Yeah, I think, we didn't execute on offense effectively, made some mistakes almost on every play, which was disappointing just because it wasn't like Trinity gave us anything new, and we didn't see that all week in practice. But, when you go on the road and you're playing one of the top teams in the conference, you can't afford to come out and not execute your game plan. And we saw, obviously in the second half when we executed, we went down the field twice and put points on the board. But, with a good team like that, you can't, spot them a first half. It's really tough on the road. And so for us, we just got to do our job, execute, understand our identity, like I've said all the time, and be better next week.
Yeah, it looks like Trinity did a good job containing the run game up the middle. You guys got some runs to the outside late in that game. But is that more a product of you guys needing to execute better up front, or is that Trinity's defensive line really playing – at a high level?
Well, I think it's more just like teams are going to crowd the box. We understand that. And it's sort of you need to, when they're crowding the box, you need to expand it, the width of the field, so that then it opens up lanes. We saw once we were able to get to the edges in the second half, then the handoffs up the middle sort of popped. We had a couple of nice 8-10 yard runs up the middle now. So it's the back and forth. You can't be one-dimensional in the option. You have to use both areas to help open and alleviate some pressures from interior and exterior.
You haven't asked Sergio to throw it that much yet, but when he has, he's completed 70% of his passes through two games. What are your thoughts on his development so far?
He's done great. I think second half you could see he was the spark plug. He was able to execute the all three phases. Think of our offense, the run, the pitch, and the throwing. I think the big thing with him, too, is that once he gets back there and scrambles around, there's opportunities, from broken plays or, he executed really well in that second half. I think he's developing nicely back there. Obviously, we lost JP in the first half, so there's a little bit more put on Serge's plate, but he's ready for it, and, he did a really good job.
Yeah, you mentioned Jack Perry. I did hear on the broadcast there was some sort of injury. What's his status right now?
He's doing well. He's checking in. I think we should have him this week. We'll see. We'll talk with the trainers.
Okay.
But if not, then, Sean Green will be ready to go, and Serge ready to go, and then everybody else as well.
Certainly. And then, defensively, Ryan Rozek had an interception. He blocked a PAT. Carmel Crunk had a bunch of tackles. Mm-hmm. What did you see from some of those guys?
Yeah, they played hard. I think it's same thing on defense. In the first couple drives, it was just lack of execution and discipline in our scheme. You look at what we did week one at home against Amherst in that first half. They had 35 yards, 40 yards of offense because we just did our job. And, like I said, I think it was all three phases. We had situations where we just lacked execution and lacked discipline in our assignments. They played really hard. I'm never questioning their effort on any of those guys. Offense, defense, special teams, I think they played as hard as they could. But we just got to execute better. So it starts, from our practices, starts from top down with myself all the way through our staff and to our players. Because we have a really talented team. And, the league's very talented. So it's not like it gets easier as it gets going. We keep continuing to play tough teams because this is one of the best conferences in the country. So we just got to continue to practice, get better, and make sure that we execute our game plans.
Watching the second half, you guys got two touchdowns there from Ryan Linsky after some good drives. And then I thought the defense had a stop on fourth down. That measurement was so close. What are your thoughts on that? That was so close.
It was just, fourth and one is always tough. Yeah. We stood up there and, we were battling. I think the grit and resolve of this team is unquestioned. So I think even, we were sitting there on the sidelines thinking, hey, this we're going to get the stop. And then we go down, it's 27-20. And, we just never got to the situation where we put a good amount of game pressure on them. Mm-hmm. You know, they started to field a little bit, but still a two-score lead with 8 minutes left. It's like you have some wiggle room. And you know, so for us, you know, we never got to the point where we really could make Trinity blink, you know. And so for us, I mean, we fought back, got it to two scores, had ourselves in a position where this game still obviously winnable. But, you know, it came down to that fourth and one, and it was about half an inch. It was right there on the sticks, and just didn't go our way.
No turnovers, which I thought is a very good thing, because turnovers hurt you a little bit against mm-hmm. Amherst before you made that comeback. That's obviously a good sign, right, for the team?
100%. And yeah. I think that's why, you know, when we don't execute offensively, as long as we can position the ball and obviously change field positions. Obviously, we had the one special teams touchdown that was a tough one to take. But, you know, when you don't turn the ball over, it still keeps the game close. So you're still able to, you know, play field position and things of that nature. So I think, again, if we continue to protect the ball and we execute, then, you know, we're going to be right there in every single game. You know, if we don't accomplish those things, then it's tough to win football games no matter what you're doing.
Looking at the tape, did anybody stand out to you in particular in this game?
No, I think it was just, you know, we had guys that, you know, I think a lot of guys stepped up on special teams. We had some guys that, you know, we went through some injuries in this game. You know, we had, you know, about four or five guys go down early on. So guys stepped up in those roles on those special teams areas. But, you know, collectively, I think we all played hard. And I think we all, you know, made mistakes. So we got to clean those up. We got to get ready for a really tough opponent that's coming up here. We're back at home, though, so it's back to work.
Yeah, your alma mater is coming off a tough loss, and they're out for revenge, I'm sure, for last year. What are your thoughts on Wesleyan here?
Really good team, holistically. I think, you know, when you watch the tape defensively, they're a bear. You know, they are very good up front. You know, they have, you know, good talent across the board offensively. They're dynamic. They've got some new guys that stepped into roles that are pretty good, you know, and their quarterback's playing really well. So really tough opponent. And like I said, I think each week for us it's, you know, this league's so wide open right now. And it's the most parity I think I've seen, but there's just a lot of talent and you got to show up week in and week out. So we understand it's a really tough test. They're coming off a 2-point loss where there was a lot of controversy at the end of that game.
Oh, yeah? I did not know that. Okay.
I know they're a little bitter after that one. And obviously, you know, us beating them last year, and you know, we'll add a little bit of fire to them. So we know we're up for a battle, and we're ready to accept that. And, you know, we love the challenge, too. You know, we want to get into it and just excited to prepare this week and move forward.
All right, Matt Coyne, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The men's cross-country team successfully defended their state championship on Saturday, easily winning the main state meet by taking first place out of 13 teams and finishing 20 points ahead of runner-up University of Maine. Five Bobcats finished in the top 10, including junior Nathaniel Aronson, who paced Bates by taking third place individually with his 8K time of 26 minutes, 13.23 seconds. It was only his third cross-country meet in his Bates career, and Nathaniel Aronson is our Male Bobcat of the Week. Male Bobcat of the Week, Nathaniel Aronson with us here on the Bobcast, talking some men's cross-country. And Nathaniel, first of all, before we talk about this past Maine State meet won by the Bobcats, tell us a little bit about your background. Growing up, when did you start really getting into cross-country running, and what made you want to come to Bates?
Yeah, I think my journey to running is pretty similar to a lot of guys. Freshman year, my mom had heard about the amazing cross-country team at my high school, and she threatened to take away my phone if I didn't sign up. So I joined then, had a lot of fun with it. I realized that I was doing okay at it, so I kept pushing on. I was initially a baseball kid, but then I slowly transitioned to running, and just the amazing culture that running has really just captured my love for it, and I continued pursuing it in college, and here I am now.
Coming up to Bates from West Hartford, Connecticut, what made Bates a place for you?
Really just the community here. Since the moment I stepped foot on campus, I just felt like it was my home. A lot of other schools kind of were similar to Bates, other NESCACs, but really just when I stepped on campus, I felt like I had a home here. Everybody was so nice, so welcoming. There was really just a supportive culture established here. The guys on the team are amazing, and it just felt like the place where I was meant to spend the rest of 4 years of my life.
So this past weekend was actually only your third ever cross-country meet at Bates, because you were injured your first year, competing in a couple of meets last year, and then you take third individually in this race. Bates had five athletes in the top 10, obviously got the victory. Take us through the race and how it went from your perspective.
Yeah, it was. I'm really happy with my performance and how the team was able to pull out the victory. I'd say a couple guys who we normally thought would be up there at the front of the race, they had a little bit rougher days, and a bunch of us were really able to step up. We moved up progressively throughout the race. I was able to work with a lot of my teammates throughout and really just push with each other. And yeah, we ended up with a victory. Team spread, I think from first to fifth was 15 seconds, so it really shows the depth that we have on this team, and it was just amazing being out there with everybody, and the environment was awesome.
Yeah, take us through the environment of you know, Maine State. There's 13 schools there, mm-hmm. right?
The biggest competitors are normally Bowdoin, Colby, and UMaine. Mm-hmm. Colby actually sent a lot of their guys to pre-nat, so it was a little bit, it felt like a little bit smaller of a meet. A lot of guys were kind of running alone throughout the second half, so I was able to really work with them and push together. But it was a great season opener, and we had a lot of fun out there, so it's a great environment.
So I mentioned you were injured your first year. How did you kind of get through that sort of and come back strong last season?
Yeah, I had four stress fractures my first year, so out the entire year. So yeah. It was kind of difficult getting back into it, but the team culture that we have is just so supportive, and everybody loves working out with each other and loves being with each other, so it really wasn't difficult to kind of get back into the mentality of pushing together and working towards a collective goal.
Were you surprised to be first on the team this week?
Definitely, yeah. I think I came into it hoping to maybe break the top 15 on the team because that's the NESCAC squad. I was kind of right outside of that last year. I definitely did not think I was going to be in that position. It really just came down to pushing with my teammates. We never thought we'd be able to accomplish what we were able to, but just working with each other towards a collective goal of just beating the other teams and helping each other get to the finish line was really helpful. And yeah, I got where I am today, which is really surprising, but it was amazing to do it with my boys.
Great. Tell us about head coach Danny Feldman and what you've learned from him.
He is just an amazing support system for our team. He's really receptive to all of our wants and needs, really wants us to be the best version of ourselves. You know that he really does care about each and every individual on this team. And I feel like that precedent that he establishes really just makes you want to work harder and makes you want to push yourself more. And it's just, he's an amazing guy. He's having a kid in a couple weeks too. So with that added stress, just being able to still keep that positivity on the team. And yeah, we love having him as a coach, and I couldn't ask for anybody better to be an athlete for.
Great. In a few weeks, you have the Paul Short Run, which will be a little different, going out to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that meet coming up?
Yeah, we are really excited for that meet. Yeah. That's significantly larger invitational than what we had this week.
Right.
Lots of ranked teams are going to be there. I'd say our big team goal is to be making nationals in South Carolina by the end of the mm-hmm. season, and beating ranked teams there is going to be a very important thing for us. So I'd say it's going to be a really different environment, but we are all really looking forward to traveling down there and competing as a team for it.
What's your favorite part of cross-country running? What makes you love the sport?
Honestly, the camaraderie and community that it has. Before this race, I used to think of myself more as a track guy because I love the shorter distances more. But the reason why I decided to go abroad second semester versus first is just because the culture that it has and just the amazing energy that it provides. It's really unique. I've never experienced anything like it before, so just the team really makes everything special, and I love being part of this team.
Oh, so you're going to be abroad starting in...
Starting second semester. I'm
in January?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So this is your one season for
it
this
is,
year.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on, you know, kind of making the most of this one season you have junior year here?
Kind of like you said, just making the most of what I have. Yeah. Really just enjoying my time here on this team and trying to do whatever I can to help the team make nationals is definitely at the forefront of my mind.
Where are you going abroad?
I'm going to Spain. I'm looking to be fluent in Spanish, and it just seemed like an amazing place, a little bit different from Bates, and I feel like going abroad will just make me miss it even more. Yeah, it was a tough decision. I really did want to stay, but everybody was telling me it's going to be an experience of a lifetime, so I figured I might as well give it a shot.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you want to share on Maine State we haven't got to talk about yet?
Just wanted to give a shout-out to Kyle Werner. Him and I really worked together the entire time, and then Jack Crum was really running alone at the front of it for the most part. He was the guy who we kind of battled it out the finish line for, but he really just was gutting it out by himself up there, and I wish I was able to catch up to him earlier so that we could have pushed forward, but really just working with all my teammates throughout the race was an amazing experience and something that I loved just being a part of.
Excellent. Nathaniel Aronson, third place out of more than 140 runners, time of 26 minutes, 13.23 seconds there at Maine State Meet. The Bobcats are the state champions once again here in 2025. Male Bobcat of the Week, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
The women's cross-country team placed third out of 11 schools at the Maine State Meet on Saturday, finishing just behind Maine and host Bowdoin. Junior captain Leah White turned in an outstanding race, placing second individually and tops among Division III runners at the meet with her 6K time of 21 minutes, 47.21 seconds. Well, Leah, second place for you individually there at the Maine State meet over the weekend in Brunswick. Take us through the race and how it went from your perspective here.
Going into the race, I knew the group of ladies who I should be running with, and I made sure to get out at the start line in an appropriate way, which is something that I've struggled with in the past. So it felt really good to see that group that I had pictured running with form kind of immediately with that front pack up there. And I wasn't planning on leading the race at all, just staying with that pack and then seeing what needed to be done towards the end. So the first lap and a half was smooth, nothing crazy, and then typical to a cross-country race, the last like third and is relatively tough. So just hanging on with that group and reminding myself that I belonged up there was what got me through. I wrote like with Sharpie some like motivational things on my arms to look at throughout the race, which I hadn't done before. And I found that that helped rather than just like trying to come up with them in the moment. And just in the last 400 meters, I pride myself in my kick, and it was very awesome to see like the whole group that I was with like really pushing each other. And to come in second is super exciting. My goal was to just place higher than I did last year, which I did. I was fifth last year. So overall, individually, really great race. And then also just like looking at how some of my teammates and especially some of our new first year gals raced was really awesome and inspiring.
Yeah, I've seen some new names for the Bates Bobcats in the top 10. Tell us about some of these younger runners.
Yeah, so Maeve, Lily, and Annalise are three first years who have been really shining these past two races. And all of the first year women this year are just really dedicated and excited to be on this team. So just like seeing their excitement and their buy-in has been really wonderful. And just like supporting this young team and being successful together is something I'm looking forward to throughout the rest of the season.
Now, the Bowdoin course, pretty flat, right? Nowhere near as hilly as Pineland, right?
No. This season, I've been saying, like, this is like our IHOP season. Like, all of our courses are pancake flat. So there's, like, no hills whatsoever on this course. We've ran it last year a couple times, and this season our first years debuted it 2 weeks prior.
Right.
So definitely not a new course at all, and not a super large field in terms of runners. So definitely a good one to just like test out how we're doing. And I think for a lot of people, it feels good to get in a fast time at the beginning of the season.
Well, I'm curious, you mentioned, you know, not a huge field. You're going to have a pretty big field coming up October 3rd, right? Paul Short Run in Pennsylvania. That is going to be a new spot for the team to go to. What are your thoughts on that? Because I imagine as the field gets bigger, the start gets trickier, right?
Yeah. So this is a meet that our team hasn't gone to
historically,
and everyone's really looking forward to going this year in terms of getting like an all, like a nationals bid. This is one of our more important meets in terms of beating out of region competition. So next week we find out which race we're accepted into. And then based off of that, we'll be looking at what teams in particular we want to be picking off. Significantly larger field, which is going to be good for us because in the past, Conn College has been kind of our only big meet to get that inter and like out of region competition. And it's been a bit of a shock for us in the past. So having two bigger meets back to back, I think is going to really help us this year and also make Conn not be that much of a shock. And I think also in general, like the vibe at Paul Short is that it's just like a really fun meet to go to. So people are looking forward to that. It's definitely going to be a much different start and race from Maine States, but everyone's pretty excited.
Well, yeah, you said that there's multiple races at this meet? So how does that work? You mentioned is there more than two?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's split over 2 days, and
okay,
there's some high school races, and then there's races based on division that you have to get accepted into, and then there's also open races. So if anyone wanted to, they could like submit times to be in these open races and race if they wanted to. So it's like in between, I believe, two of the races that will get accepted into. So there's a more competitive race that we're hoping to be accepted into.
Yeah.
And then there's additional like interdivision. There's an interdivision race that we could also be accepted into.
Great. Well, you're one of the captains this year. So what's that experience been like, you know, working with Gwen and Lucy as well as one of the captains?
It's been really wonderful. Definitely a different experience than being a captain in high school. Mm-hmm. What's been one of my favorite things as being a captain is I've really enjoyed seeing how enthusiastic this team is this year. And everyone is just rather bought in to running, and there's been like lots of moments of joy in the struggle of running together. And we had our cross country retreat at the beginning of the season, which was really wonderful to get to know all of our first years in like a non-school and super running focused environment, which isn't something that we've had in the past. So we were able to get a lot of quality running in there, but also get to meet everyone. And I think that was really wonderful for team culture. But I'm excited to just keep pushing these girls to have a very successful season and seeing what we've got.
I was going to say, yeah, you mentioned that. Half the battle, I feel like, for running is the buy-in, right? The enthusiasm. Is that, would you agree?
Yeah. It's like, it's very difficult. And so being dedicated to showing up is very impressive on its own. And just like the grit and toughness that people show up with is really wonderful.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share about the Maine State meet and how the team did and what you're looking forward to here for the rest of the year we haven't got to talk about yet?
I think that it was really awesome for the Maine State meet. It was our first meet this year where the whole team competed. Mm-hmm. So just getting to see everyone supporting each other together at such a high energy meet was really wonderful. And the rest of the track team came out to support us.
Great.
And Scott Lehman was there, and Gary Jenkins and his husband were there. So it was just everyone felt very supported, and it was a wonderful day.
Yeah, it's really cool to have the college president come out to the cross country, right?
Yeah. Especially there were lots of other sports going on that day.
True, yep. He chose the Wildcat cross country teams. Love it. yeah, because that's your only in-state cross country meet, because you've got Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and New Hampshire, and hopefully South Carolina.
Yes.
Leah White, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The men's soccer team picked up a big road win at number 14 nationally ranked Bowdoin last Tuesday, defeating the Polar Bears 2-0. It's the first time Bates men's soccer has beaten Bowdoin in back-to-back seasons since 1998 and 1999. Unfortunately, Saturday brought some heartbreak as the Bobcats fell 1-0 to Wesleyan, with the Cardinals scoring the game-winning goal off a corner kick as time expired. Still, the Bobcats are 4-1-1, entering a big road match this Saturday against defending national champion Amherst. On the women's side, the Bobcats are 3-1-1 after a 0-0 draw with number 14 nationally ranked Wesleyan on Saturday. Junior goalkeeper Sydney Litney had a huge match for Bates, tallying a career-high 7 saves on her way to recording her second straight shutout. And she is our female Bobcat of the week. Well, Sydney, first of all, obviously Wesleyan put a lot of pressure on the defense throughout the match. You made a career-high 7 saves. Take us through that match from your perspective. How are you seeing it unfold in goal?
We went out as a team and we're like, okay, we know they're number 14. They have all this hype, but we can go out there and play the best we can. So that morning I was just getting ready and it was like, be aggressive, just do your thing, have fun, you know, just trust how the game plays out. And, you know, the defense really worked well together. Like, my back line did a great job, and I felt like we really connected that game, and it all came together, and we were able to keep the shutout.
You had to deal with 20 corner kicks, though. So what was that like? I mean, how do you set your defense up as a goalie in those situations?
Yeah, so we have a zone defense. So, you know, I had my two center backs in front of me, and then I'd pull Gabby Monaco down, and she did a great job, like, marking the girl that was on me. And I remember saying, all right, guys, it's just, like, practice, because there's a span of, like, six in a row just from the same corner that it switched to the other side. So, like, all right, just like, practice, just keep getting it out. So, yeah, it was kind of at that point, it was just like, all right, we've made it this far. We're not letting them get anything. Like, what's another one?
Right, right. Of your seven saves, what's the most memorable one, perhaps?
There was a 1v1 that she shot, and I dove and punched it around the post, which I really loved. And then there was one that I tipped on the crossbar, and that one's always fun. So
nice. And then obviously a draw situation is a good result, right? I mean, getting a point against a nationally ranked opponent. How was the team feeling after the match?
Everyone felt really good. We one of our sayings is grit, passion, poise. In that game, that was a lot of grit, and we fought till the end, and we had to deal with some injuries, and that's always terrible. So at the end of the game, it became like a 14-minute game, is what coach said on the sideline, and we saw it out, and we played hard the whole time. And really, we never let the energy up. We never let defense up. And I think that was important for the team and to see that we can play a full 90 minutes.
Great. Tell me a little bit about your background. You're a junior now here at Bates, but how did you start playing goalie, I guess, growing up there in Illinois?
Yeah, so actually, most of my soccer career, I was in the field. I was a six, which is a holding mid, and then I played center back for a really long time. And then when I... like freshman year of high school, I switched to full-time goalie. So that's when I went to go play. I played at Eclipse my high school years in ECNL. So I really played goalie there. And then my high school team, funny enough, I played forward for them. So
okay.
I was being on the opposite end scoring goals. But, yeah, I've always switched between the field and goalie. So I feel like that's a good background to have because I understand the frustrations and get that it's hard to be in any position.
So in high school on your club team you're playing goalie, but on your high school team you're playing forward.
Yeah, and then I'd switch off forward and keeper depending.
Oh, for your high school team?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So how are you able to balance that training to kind of, you know, to do both at once?
In club it was like very heavy goalie training, and I was lucky enough to have a great goalkeeping staff and a great goalkeeping coach. And then high school, at least in Illinois, is not the most competitive spot. So a lot of girls play, they're like junior, senior. I played all 4 years, but it's a lot of people play club, choose not to play high school. Mm. So it's more of a fun environment. So it gave me a chance to kind of run around a little bit.
Excellent. Yeah, just some more soccer, right?
Yeah, so. Whatever works.
And this year for the Bobcats, I mean, you've already played 315 minutes in goal. That's way more combined than you played your first 2 years. So what's it like, you know, becoming the starting goalkeeper this year?
It's really fun. I feel like as an upperclassman, and I'm sure everyone else feels this way about their own, like a lot of juniors and seniors are also playing more this year. It's just the hard work that we've put in, not only individually, but as a team, to kind of see it come to fruition and be able to, like, get your shot on the field is nice, and it's really fun, and I'm just glad that the team's working well together and we're all, like, seeing everyone's hard work pay off, whether it's me in goal or the midfielders or the forwards. Like, seeing everybody, especially the people I came in with as a freshman, getting playing time is awesome.
So coming from the Midwest, how did Bates end up on your radar? How did you end up here?
I have always loved the East Coast. I visited Boston my junior, like, going into my junior year of high school, so that summer. And I just absolutely fell in love with it. So I knew I wanted to be out here. And one of my teachers actually went to Wesleyan.
Okay.
And he was like, I think you'd do great at a NESCAC. And I was like, what is a NESCAC? Because in the Midwest, like, sure, people maybe know Tufts. But other than that, it's like, Bates? Where's Bates?
Right.
So I was looking at NESCACs. And then I came back out my junior year going into senior summer. Did an ID camp. Bates was there. Was just reaching out to them. And they saw my email, and I was kind of like, Bates, what's Bates? And then I looked at the website, and I was like, oh, I don't know about this. But the coach had talked to me, and I visited, and I had that moment of, like, stepped on campus. I was like, I'm coming here. I was like, I love it here. It was just the best fit. Yeah, I'm very happy I ended up with Bates.
Excellent. And then also Saturday, we had an alumni game at, like, 8 in the morning. So a lot of alumni at the match, especially for the women's soccer team. I know Amy Brunner, class of 94, was an All-American goalie back in 1993, was there. She got to witness your shutout. You took a picture with her after the game. How cool was that experience?
It was so cool. Adrian actually came over and introduced us, and it was great to talk to her, just how much the program has changed. And she was talking about how her field was where Underhill is now.
Okay.
And kind of like tidbits from her time there. And it was just cool to see like the Bates connection and, you know, see how much of an impact it makes just throughout your life. And she's like, oh, I still talk to some of the girls. And it was great to see her back. And yeah, see that people still care.
Yeah, absolutely. And then looking at the team this year, obviously you're off to a 3-1-1 start. You're at UNE. We're talking on Monday, so you're at UNE on Tuesday, 7 o'clock, and then back to NESCAC action on the road this Saturday at Amherst, another nationally ranked opponent, but obviously you've already shown you can play with these nationally ranked teams. So what are your thoughts on where the team's at and where you want to go kind of this year?
Last year, we were just right on the cusp of making that NESCAC tournament cutoff, so that's a big goal for us this year. And, you know, our first game at Trinity, it was a loss, but I think we did some really, really good things in that game. And Wesleyan, we showed that we can play a full 90 and really stand on defense. So I have high hopes for us to compete because we're a gritty team. We have a lot of passion, and I think that we're starting to put all the pieces together. We've put a lot of work in, so I think if we just keep believing, we'll see some of it come out. I mean, we've had big wins before. We beat Amherst and they were ranked, I think, 20th my freshman year. Mm. So we've shown that we can do it. So we just have to keep the faith.
Excellent. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share about the Wesleyan match before we, move on to UNE here coming up on Tuesday?
It was a great team win. Everyone came together and really worked their tails off to make all that happen. And, you know, I'm glad that we ended up with a tie, and I think it's a good thing to build off of.
Terrific. And don't forget, folks, the Bobcats are back home Saturday, October 4th, 11 a.m. against Williams. That'll be back to Bates weekend, so a lot of stuff going on that day. But women's soccer at home against Williams on October 4th, but a couple road matches before then. Sydney Litany, our female Bobcat of the week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The field hockey team is ranked 7th in the nation after Saturday's 1-0 win over then number 13 nationally ranked Wesleyan. And they have a big showdown with the current number 13 nationally ranked team, Bowdoin, this Tuesday at 7 p.m. in Brunswick. Both teams are undefeated. Sophomore goalkeeper Ava Donahue made a season-high 4 saves to help Bates beat the Cardinals, and she joins the Bobcats this week to talk more about the field hockey team's best start to a season since 1983.
Well, Ava, you have a big game tonight. We're talking here on Tuesday morning against Bowdoin, but take us through the season so far and how it's gone from your perspective, your second year here of college field hockey, and the team off to a great start, obviously.
I think the team has come in with a lot of potential, and from my perspective, I see everyone on the field at all times, and I think we're all coming in with, well, new freshmen, of course, so it's a new team, and we set standards high last year, and we're just coming back without even thinking about that fresh start, and it's really great to see how everyone's putting all their passion and dedication for the sport out on the field.
Take us through those key saves you made at the end of the Wesleyan game. Wesleyan was trying to score there at the very end. You were able to get a big save to clinch the victory.
I think a lot of it is how I work in cooperation with my defense. I really couldn't even do any of my saves that I have without them, because it's the way we communicate and our positioning and how we've learned in practice how to just work with each other without even having to say anything. Also, I believe I had Amy next to me, and even just her helping guide me through it, through talking, saying yours or mine, that helps me so much. And when I'm in game, making those saves, it's all instinct. So I just drop to the floor. I'm moving as much as possible, and those saves just come out of how much I'm trying to get it out and do it for my teammates.
What was that celebration like right at the end there? Because obviously, you know, it was a kind of a dramatic finish, and obviously the team all rushed you and lifted you up a little bit, right?
Yeah, I love when that happens. Yeah. I get so excited to see my team excited.
Tell me a little bit about the defense. You just mentioned it, how there's a lot of great communication. A lot of returners, though, there. It's a new team, but there's a lot of experience there, isn't there?
The defense is mainly returners.
Yeah.
So I think now we have a really strong trust and bond together that is so helpful in the back of the field. That trust really goes a long way. If I miss a save, I know that my defense is going to be behind me. If they miss something, I'm right there for them. And it's just how much we trust each other, because we know that if we make that mistake, someone's going to be there to support us and help us up, which is so great that we have that built from last year. And it's like a big family back there, which is super great to to see how much it's grown since last year.
By the time people are listening to this, you'll be probably in the middle of the Bowdoin game, but tell me a little bit about your thoughts on tonight's big matchup.
I'm really excited. I think all of the teams that we've played so far have been great opportunities for growth and for performance. I think we've all seen so much improvement from all the teams we played last year as well, including ourselves. And it's going to be a really good matchup because they're undefeated as well, I believe.
Yep.
So everyone's going to put everything on the line, and it's going to be a really great game of intensity and that main competition. And I'm really excited to see how everyone plays, and it's all just going to be putting out that hard work that we've been using in practice.
What are some big things you've learned from year one at Bates now to year two that you're kind of applying this season, what you learned from your rookie year last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think confidence, a lot of that, being a first year playing, it can be really nerve-wracking going in and not wanting to disappoint your teammates, your coaches, anyone watching. And that can be a lot of stress. So going in with confidence and knowing you're there for a reason is super helpful. And knowing that you have practiced so hard and you've worked so hard to get to the point where you're at is exactly what I'm bringing in now. And I think that's been really helpful. And I think my teammates also work off of that as well and feed off that energy.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on the season so far we haven't got to talk about?
We're going to keep going up and we're going to keep putting that hard work in, and our coaches are setting us up for so much success, and I'd like to thank them if they hear this.
Sounds good. The Bobcats are ranked 7th in the country. They're taking on 13th-ranked Bowdoin tonight in Brunswick. It's 7 o'clock, so if you're listening on a Tuesday, definitely should check that out. Ava Donahue, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The volleyball team split a pair of NESCAC matches over the weekend, falling 3-1 Friday at Amherst before bouncing back to defeat Hamilton 3-1 on the road Saturday afternoon. First-year Jamie Bartley-Cohen had a huge match against the Continentals, taking advantage of her first start to tally a match and season-high 19 kills. Well, Jamie, before we talk about the matches this past weekend, you're from South Salem, New York. Tell us a little bit about how Bates got on your radar for college for volleyball.
Bates has become a big thing in the Northeast, especially like NESCAC schools, and they reached out to me and my director at my volleyball club. The end of my junior year, after seeing my film from Nationals, and they went out of their way to come and get me to the school, so I just really appreciated their time and really wanted to check out the school and what it's all about, and I ended up absolutely loving it.
Well, tell me about Nationals for volleyball. What's that like in high school?
It's a completely, like, different atmosphere. I mean, it was club volleyball, so our club traveled around the country, and that was in Florida my junior year, and I sent in my film to a bunch of different schools, and it caught their eye, and they ended up reaching out to me, and the rest is history.
Had you heard of Bates before they reached out?
Honestly, no. I've been made aware of a lot of NESCAC schools in general, but not specifically Bates.
So how's the experience so far been with the volleyball program?
It's been amazing. I mean, I wasn't recruited by the coaches I have now,
right. But
I'm so grateful for them. They are beyond my expectations. They're both super young, super into it, and just really trying to grow this program with the skill sets they both have. And they're very talented and passionate people. So it's been a great start.
So in high school, it says here, we have on your bio, you compete in volleyball, basketball, and flag football.
Yes.
Tell us about that experience also.
Basketball was actually my main sport in high school. I've been playing basketball since I was probably like 4 years old.
I was
very passionate about basketball, and I started my flag football program in high school when I was a sophomore, and ended up competing at a varsity level. We brought it to like our section one athletics and kind of, you know, grew the program. I was a quarterback on my team. And I absolutely loved it. It was super fun. And now it's like a huge growing sport, and even in college athletics now. So it's awesome.
For volleyball, have you always been an outside hitter?
Yes, for the most part, I have. I started pretty late. I started playing volleyball when I was 15 or 14.
Mm.
And so I started very late. They kind of were just like, this is a very athletic position. You play sports. Here you go. This is a position you're going to play.
What got you into volleyball? You mentioned starting late. What inspired you to start the sport?
I had seen a lot of film and stuff on social media about volleyball, and I had friends that played. It just looked like such a fun sport to me. I had people that were like, yeah, you'd be really good at it, like, just try and start it, whatever, and I did, and I absolutely fell in love with it, and it became my main sport in the end, so, yeah.
This past weekend, Amherst and then Hamilton, so a long road trip.
Yes, definitely.
First real road trip for your college career. What was that kind of like, just going on the road like that?
It felt so surreal. I mean, yeah. I had never been on a bus for that long, and it was just such a fun experience. It really, like, it kind of hit me. I was like, wow, like, I'm playing college sports. Like, I never imagined myself here. It's so unbelievable, but it was really fun.
19 kills for you against Hamilton, way more than any previous match this season for you. So
yes.
What was clicking in that match? What allowed you to have that much success there?
Hamilton was my first start this year.
Okay.
That was my real time to, you know, showcase my talents and really prove myself. And I was just, I wanted to prove to myself and to my coaches and to my team that I had the capability to really, like, help our team out and really pull out a win in the NESCAC conference, because our team is so talented and we have phenomenal coaches and we work really, really hard. And I think we deserve that win 100%. And I think I was just really happy to be a part of it and really, like, play with intensity and energy and really just help our team pull out that win.
Great. And then Lauren Kroom is our primary setter this year. She had 49 assists. What's it like working with her?
She is a phenomenal player. She's so fun to be on the court with. She's always boosting my confidence and really helping me to be successful. I mean, it's awesome to be, you know, a good hitter. Anyone could be a good hitter, but, you know, like, having that connection that with a really talented setter is what sets apart good teams from great teams. And I think she's on the path to making us, like, a really successful team, because she really showcases her hitters.
Great. You're a first year, as we mentioned. So what's been the biggest adjustment from, like, club volleyball now to college volleyball?
So definitely the block. I don't know. Like, in a general standpoint, like, in high school, it was very easy to hit over blockers, and it wasn't as fast paced, and it was much easier time just playing in general. And coming to college, it's so fast-paced. It's a completely different environment. It's very high stakes in a way. And it's also just a lot. There's a lot more talent on the court. Definitely, like, playing against some of these really big players. Like, we were playing against 6'3 blockers, 6'4 blockers. Like, you don't see that in high school every day. Like, that's not your normal high school height. And just coming into college, playing against these very talented players and playing with very talented players, it's just a huge adjustment, but very fun.
I was gonna say, yeah, you're 5'9", which is tall, but maybe not tall for volleyball. No. So for an outside hitter, so how do you make that adjustment?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, yeah, like, I definitely am an undersized player in general, especially for a collegiate level. Like, I work hard in the off season to make sure my vertical is pretty high and that I'm athletic enough to compete with much bigger and much older players who have had experience and have the physicality and height to be successful. So, yeah.
I was going to say, this weekend, obviously, you beat Hamilton. The loss to Amherst, you did win the third set. You battled back, really, in that one, and the fourth set was very competitive. So what do you think the team kind of, like, adjusted, you know, in that match and then applied the next day to get the win?
Yeah, I mean, Amherst was our first NESCAC game of the season. Coming from out of conference play to a very talented, new, young Amherst team was a huge adjustment. And I think we didn't come out with the intensity that we needed to really keep our foot on the gas and try and, you know, push them to play higher to our standard. I think we were kind of lowering our play at the beginning, not playing up to our potential the way we have been playing. I think it was a little bit of nerves, you know, like, very nervous. It was a very big crowd, like, very intense atmosphere. So I think once we started to, you know, realize, like, we have this, like, we can do this. We need to just put the pieces together, bring our energy back. That's when we came back in the third set. I think we just needed that from the start. I think that's what hurt us a little bit. But yeah, once we, like, find our groove and our energy, and we find that flow with each other since we're such a new team, like new pieces on the court. I think it's going to be very successful.
Is volleyball big from where you're from? Because I feel like it's, you know, we get a lot of people from California playing volleyball. We on this team, Hawaii also, but is New York where you're from, is it big there?
I would say yes and no. Like, I played club at a club in Connecticut.
Oh, okay, so okay, gotcha.
My club team wasn't, New York. I mean, they had some New York players, mm-hmm. but it was mostly Connecticut players.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I would say our high schools, like, around me were very, like, into volleyball. Mm. Like, it was a very, like, there. It's a very growing concept in a lot of towns near me. Like, they implemented so many, like, youth programs and clinics and different opportunities for people to just play the sport and learn the sport. So, yeah.
Great. And then, you know, you're in the midst of a bit of a road trip right now, obviously, a lot of road matches. But you have gotten a chance to play some home matches earlier this year, including our Garnet Growl, which is your first experience. What's it like playing in Alumni Gym?
It's so fun. It's such an, like, unreal atmosphere. I think, like, it's so close-knit with everyone. You're, like, right next to the fans and right next to the student section. And I think that, like, atmosphere just creates, like, a whole new energy. And I think it's so fun. That you get to play in front of your peers and your friends and parents. It was just such a fun experience. I absolutely loved it.
You mentioned, obviously, Carissa Bradford, our first-year head coach here. What's it like being playing for her? Obviously, you mentioned, obviously, the recruiting process was Emily Hayes. Now we have Carissa Bradford. So tell me a little about, you know, playing for her. What's the experience been like?
It's been absolutely amazing. I mean, she's such a talented player coming from Division I experience. And you can see that in the way she like presents herself and how confident she is and how she's just helping build our program. She's helped me so much, giving me little tips and tricks on the court, and just really helping grow my game. I think she's very smart and she knows volleyball very well. I think she's been a great asset to our team.
Great. What are your thoughts you want to share on the weekend and your first collegiate start there against Hamilton?
It was such a fun experience. I'm so glad that I was able to help my team and, you know, showcase my talents and really bring energy to the court, I think. That was so fun, such an unreal experience, and absolutely loved it, yeah.
Jamie Bartley Cohen, first-year outside hitter, 6-2 women's volleyball team, coming off a win over Hamilton. She had 19 kills against the Continentals. Bobcats are on the road this Friday at Tufts, 6 o'clock. Catch them back home on October 3rd when they host Middlebury at 7 o'clock, and then part of Back to Bates weekend on the 4th, hosting Williams at 2 o'clock. Thanks so much for joining us on Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The women's and men's golf teams were in action last weekend, with the women placing 10th out of 12 teams at the George Finney Classic in Middlebury, and the men placing 12th out of 15 schools at the Williams Fall Invitational. This week, we welcome men's senior captain Henry Ehrlich to the show to give us a look at this year's team. We've got a belated preview of the men's golf season here on the Bobcast. Henry Ehrlich, senior for Bates, joining us here in studio. Henry, you just had the Williams Fall Invitational, and it's something I've never seen before, at least in tournament play. You guys actually played 36 holes on Saturday and then 18 more on Sunday. But take us through that Saturday grind. I know you were even par through the first 18, and the second 18 were a little bit tougher, it seemed like.
Yeah, Aaron, that's exactly right. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. Always such an honor to be on the greatest podcast in Lewiston.
yes, that's right.
But, yeah, that 36-hole Saturday was a total grind. I, you know, personally played pretty well the first 18, a little sloppy here and there. And then, you know, the second 18, the day was long, right? We were, you know, up at 5:30 and then playing golf until 6:30 pretty much. And it was honestly just hard to stay, like, in it mentally, you know, when you finish your first 18 holes and you're like, well, I got 5 more hours out here. Here we go. And the course gets easier the second time around, of course, because you know, it was the same pins and you've seen the course. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to play that course a bunch throughout my career here at Bates. But the day just got long and away from me. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I would sum it up.
Yeah, and physically, it sounds like it's a very tiring experience.
Legs get tired. I think I checked my phone after I had walked about 14 and a half miles that day, which was a lot.
if people need to remember, is they don't get carts for these. You guys walk the course.
Yeah, carrying the bag, cart.
No caddy, right?
Nope, no.
None of that. Yeah. So carrying your own bag and everything, walking 36 holes. What was it kind of like on the ride back, kind of, what were you guys talking about in terms of, you know, that 36-hole experience? I mean, do you have that again this year, or is that the one-time thing?
We do. We do. And I think that's part of an initiative in the NESCAC and sort of Northeast Golf in general to get more 54-hole events on the calendar. I know that's... It's sort of the standard for Division I events to be 54 holes, and a lot of times they just do it a 36-hole day the day before the last day. I think that's part of an initiative to get more ranking points for Division III. You know, most of the best teams in Division III golf are located in places where they can play year-round, so the South or California or Texas. And so I think this is just another way for NESCAC teams and other teams in New England to get those at-large bids, right? Because historically, it's only been one NESCAC team, just the champion, that gets to go to the NCAAs. And so I think it's just part of an effort to get more in there. But, you know, in terms of the van ride back, we were actually mostly talking about Malin Adams.
Sure.
Who's our freshman who is, you know, really struggled on day one and then just came back and went crazy in his third round.
Minus one.
I think he was 5 under through six.
Wow.
And honestly, just from my perspective, from someone who's seen it all in the past 3.5 years at Bates and now is the captain of the team, could not be more proud. I mean, just to have, in his first college event, a 36-hole day at the most challenging course and demanding course we play is obviously really tough. And then to go out and play the way he did on day one, it's easy to get down on yourself and sort of rethink your life in a way. Golf does that to you.
Yeah.
But just so proud of the way he came back and then just like brought his total A game on Sunday, which was awesome and really great to see and a great thing to build off for the rest of the season going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. For you personally, I mean, since you know more of these 36-hole days might be coming up, what are your thoughts on what you have to do, what the team has to do to kind of get ready for the next one?
Yeah, the main thing is staying mentally focused. Mm-hmm. And you can do that in a couple of ways. I think one of the things that you need to do is obviously control what you can control. And so that looks like properly hydrating and eating and sleeping the whole week before and while you're at the tournament. One of the, you know, tough things about these 36-hole days is that, like, it's hard to eat and drink enough the whole time because you're focused. It's kind of hard to eat. It's hard to, like, you don't want to carry too much on your bag because it's heavy and it's, you know, 14 miles of walking.
Yeah.
And to kind of super hilly course. But really just staying mentally focused is the main part. I mean, I told the guys before, like, I know from my experience, the worst feeling in the world is after a round feeling like, oh, geez, I really could have put – I did not put my best foot forward and I could have tried harder. Mm. And so I think that's kind of our mentality this season, and especially on those 36-hole days, putting 100+% effort into every single swing and shot, and just so that, you know, you can leave the round after and look at our coach and say, coach, I tried my hardest in every single shot.
Was there any time between the 18?
No, not at all.
Just usually right in the next.
Not at all. And yeah. I was unfortunate in that I started on hole 4.
Okay.
Because it is the furthest away from the clubhouse. So I had a long walk in after 36 holes. But
gotcha.
It was a great day. And to have 36 holes at that course, it's the number 2 ranked college golf course in the entire country, only the Yale Golf Club.
In terms of like difficulty or in terms of
just,
like
just overall like
niceness?
Course ranking? Yeah.
Yeah.
Difficulty, condition, design. Yeah. Fun.
Right, okay.
And it's also just gorgeous, located in the Berkshire Mountains.
Yeah.
And the 36-hole day, there was another like fun element to it because Williams had a field hockey game and a football game that day.
Sure, yeah.
So from like pretty much maybe like 9 a.m. to like 3, the course is right next to their campus. And so like we heard them like beat the brakes off Colby.
Yeah, that's right, they did.
And
yeah.
Then I think their field hockey team won too.
Yeah.
But it was fun to hear that and like listen to some like music and fans cheering while we were playing golf. Totally unrelated, but it was kind of a nice like little distraction there. But yeah, to play 36 holes in a day at that course is such a treat.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about, since you are the team captain, let's talk about a little bit about the roster this year. You know, in terms of seniors, are you it?
I am it.
You're the only, you're the lone senior. So what's that like being the lone senior on this team?
It's great. You know, in the past 4 years, I've been very, very fortunate to have excellent captains and role models and just upperclassmen in general that have been like total guiding lights for me and everybody else on the team, just in terms of, you know, how to conduct yourself on and off the course, how to lead the team, And then, you know, finding the best ways to continue this upward trajectory for our program. That's what we've talked about the last few years. But it's good, man. It's we got Charlie Wyman's gone right now. He's living it up in St. Andrews, just like having the best time of his life.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it'll be awesome to have him back in the spring. But we've got three awesome freshmen. Malin already contributing a lot already. Not sure, like, you know, what their roles are going to look like throughout the rest of the season. But, you know, I think that's, you know, just part of adjusting to coming into college and all that stuff. But really proud of the guys so far. And then we got TJ Perlman, who's a walk-on.
Right.
Awesome kid. He's got some incredible talent. And I think once he works with our coach, Sean Moore, he's going to be really good.
Great. And I know Arthur Jenkins had the same score overall as you.
Yep.
He was much more like almost the same round each time.
Yep.
There's benefits to that, I guess, right?
Totally. Yeah. Arthur's one of our more even-keeled guys on the golf course, which is awesome. Yeah. That's exactly what you want. Just very steady. I mean, you can see it here on his portrait. He's just stone cold.
We're looking
at the
roster right now. Yeah. No expression.
But yeah, no, Arthur's awesome and going to be contributing all year.
You were abroad last year during the fall.
That's right.
I mean, how excited are you to have a full, like, fall season now here?
It's great. And I just, like, the beauty of New England golf is something that is, like, can never be understated and something that I forgot how much I loved, right? Like, I mean, last weekend, you could probably just go up online and look at the photos of Taconic Golf Club during the fall. It is unbelievable. Just like rolling Berkshire Hills, just covered in orange and green and red. And then also, it's much better weather than the spring. The spring, in terms of golfing weather, is not fun.
No.
It's, you know, probably high of like 50, raining a lot last year for us. And just to like be able to go out there and wear shorts and like not four layers on top is great. The fall is the best, for sure.
In the spring, obviously, you have the NESCAC Championships, which is hosted this year, looks like, by Trinity
College. That's right.
What course is that?
It was where we had the Trinity Spring Invitational. I believe it was Tumblebrook Country Club, which is kind of an interesting layout there because...
Yeah,
is that
Tumblebrook.
Right? Tumblebrook, yeah. Mm-hmm. They have 3 9-hole tracks there. And last year, we played the same two on both days, but I think I heard this year for NESCAC they're going to sort of incorporate all three for our 54 holes, which will be fun.
And that'll be over 3 days, though.
I believe so. That's how it was last year, so I assume they'll just go with that again.
So we got the Bowden Invitational coming up this weekend. So is that going to be similar here? We're going to have 36 holes on day one or no?
No, so
no.
That's just going to be 18-18.
Okay.
I think the only other one this fall is Skidmore in Saratoga Springs.
Got it.
That's Saratoga Spa State Park, I believe.
Yeah.
That'll be 36-18. And then the one in Cape Cod will be 18-18.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Bowden this weekend is going to be awesome. I'm on the SAC, the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, and it's one of our spotlight games this fall. So we're trying to get everybody to come out, and it's just a great time. Like, enjoy the nice weather, you know, talk some trash to the other golfers, and then, you know, hopefully watch some good shots. But Brunswick is an awesome course, a place that I love. It's gorgeous in the fall. Sort of suits my game well, a lot of left-to-right holes. And it's always just a really good time. Competitive field, too.
Testing my memory. Is that where you got your hole in one?
It is. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
It
got
is.
It. Yeah.
Nice
memory. Wow. As a first year, right?
Yes. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What hole was that on Brunswick?
That was hole number 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So fond memories.
Short
of that
little
course.
Hole. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, any other thoughts you want to share on the men's golf team? People should know about, you know, heading into this the rest of the fall schedule here.
Well, I guess I would just say that we're now going into our coaches. Sean Warren's third full season as head coach, and he's just done an incredible job turning the program around. We are absolutely a contender this year. And, you know, like, we've already got our recruits for next year and then are, you know, having kids up all the time for next year. So just a special shout out to him, the incredible work he's done and, you know, helping us on the course but off the course as well, and just being better men growing up and everything.
I also forgot to ask you because of the Golf Digest experience.
Yeah,
I wanted to go back to that. What was that experience like, and then seeing the final product recently?
That was incredible.
Yeah.
The thing that amazed me the most was just how much goes into like a major production video like that.
Right.
I mean, it must have been a crew of 20 staffers out there they had people flying drones, they had all kinds of audio people, cameras, obviously like the Golf Digest and Adobe experts. And then just like to have our home course, Martindale, which is really special to us and maybe a lesser known place in the world of American golf, just to have that projected onto the national stage was awesome for us. And then also for our team, like, it's a great little recruiting piece, like, you know, to see, you know, if you're a high school kid, you're maybe you're a junior in high school, you're a good golfer, and you see like, oh, geez, Bates Golf and Golf Digest, what? Like, I want to go there. So great on a lot of angles there for us, and was also really cool to talk to the Golf Digest expert Derek Duncan about like course design and sort of how Martindale is structured. Because, you know, one of the things as a competitive golfer is you're not always thinking about like how a course is designed when you're out there competing.
Yeah.
Or I would say you actually almost never think right. about it. You're like, oh, I wonder why that guy back in 1920 put that bunker there at 260 right. yards on the right. No, you're not. You know, you're just like trying to think about how you're you know, planning your shots and
yeah.
getting the ball in the hole in as few shots as possible. But to step back and then think about how the course is designed from an architectural or artistic perspective was really interesting and cool.
Awesome. Well, the Bobcats men's golf team is at Bowdoin for the Bowdoin Invitational Saturday and Sunday, 18 holes each day, thankfully, at least this week.
Yeah.
Henry Ehrlich, senior captain, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcats to give us an inside look here at the men's golf team.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Aaron.
This past Saturday was the annual Dempsey Challenge, and Bates once again took home the College Cup for raising the most money for the Dempsey Center. Bates Associate Director of Athletics and Senior Woman Administrator Adrian Scheibels from the class of 1991 joins the Bobcast this week to tell us more about the importance of the Dempsey Challenge. Happy to have Adrian Scheibels with us here on the Bobcast talking about the Dempsey Challenge. The Bobcats won the College Cup again. First of all, for those who maybe not from Maine, aren't familiar, tell us the Dempsey Challenge very basically what it is and why Bates continues to have such great success.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Aaron. The Dempsey Center, located right here in Lewiston, Maine, is a nonprofit started by Patrick Dempsey, McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy. And he and his two sisters started the center because they lost their mom to cancer, and he wanted to do something for the people of Maine right here where he grew up and where his mom lived. Relatively speaking, she actually lived over in Harpswell, right down the road from me. So this center is amazing. It provides, it's sort of a Ronald McDonald House for cancer patients and their families. Here in Lewiston, they also have a home in Portland where they can put up people who are receiving treatment, their family members, right there in Portland. So they do a lot of great work around nutrition services too, you know, counseling for cancer patients, for their families, for their children, Reiki, massage. I mean, the services are amazing, amazing. And so the Dempsey Challenge is a one day now event where you can bike or you can run or walk and raise money to support this incredible cause.
Bates has been involved with this a lot for many years, right? How do you think Bates has been able to maintain that level of involvement, you know, especially throughout sports teams?
I want to give a shout out to Hillary Throckmorton.
Mm-hmm.
I can't off the top of my head think what year she was here at Bates, but I think she ignited a lot of enthusiasm when they first started the challenge and the College Cup, which is a competition between Bates, Bowdoin, and Colby students to who can raise the most money. And Hillary did a great job of organizing students. And then, you know, post-COVID, I think it fell off a little bit, just a little bit. We've won every year but one year. And since my arrival a few years ago, I just have been so impressed with the way that our varsity sports athletes and our club sport athletes this year really have worked incredibly hard to serve their community in this way. It's honestly one of my favorite days of the year to see the community come together, to see Bates represent in the way that they do. The students just show up in such an amazing, amazing, enthusiastic way and, you know, mingle with this great community of people who have all been impacted by this terrible disease.
And it means a lot to you personally, right?
Yeah, yeah. In COVID, I learned that I had breast cancer, and I had my surgery done right here in Lewiston. And because it was COVID, it's difficult to go through any cancer journey. But, you know, in a pandemic, when you really can't, my husband couldn't come into the hospital with me. And then, you know, afterwards, just recovering on my own, it was a pretty isolating experience. So I reached out to the Dempsey and used a lot of their services, you know, after my surgery, which were incredibly helpful. So it became quite personal for me. I'd run the Dempsey before mm-hmm. that. But, you know, now, yes, it's pretty personal.
And then for this year's event, just take us through how it went. I mean, you were there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. There were so many teams that participated. And I was actually just on the Dempsey website to try to, you know, they haven't given us the exact total yet, but it looks like from my calculations that we raised $30,001.
Okay.
Which is amazing. But the women's lacrosse team raised almost $8,000, rowing almost $4,000. Just a lot of teams participated and a lot of faculty staff as well. And it was just such a feel-good moment. And to see the Bates students, you know, kind of gathering after the event to stay, to socialize, to, you know, mingle with people from the community. It was great.
And it's fun for, I think, the students to get to meet Patrick Dempsey, right?
Oh, my God. They love it. They love it. Yeah, it's great. He's very present. And yeah, I saw a lot of photos on social media. I also want to shout out those students who didn't participate but who volunteered. Our baseball and softball teams were big. And I'm sorry if I left people out, but they were very present. And that's a meaningful way to contribute as well.
Great. And then anything else you wanted to mention in terms of like people should know about the challenge and how they can help, even if they don't live in Maine, perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to their website, to the Dempsey website, and donate there. There are lots of ways to give back. I mean, they're always looking for, they give each cancer patient, you know, a handmade blanket. I mean, there are other ways to give other than actual dollars, too. So it's an amazing organization. And yeah, and I just love the way that the Bates students go all in on supporting this incredible cause.
Only one home game this weekend for Bates Athletics, but it's a big one, as the football team hosts defending NESCAC champion Wesleyan Saturday for a 1 p.m. kickoff, with both teams sitting at 1-1 on the season. Find the complete schedule of upcoming Bates Athletics events at GoBatesBobcats.com, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast. Thank you.